Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Ephesians 5:15-16. I'm Rob West. We don't often think of time management as one of God's financial and spiritual principles, but we definitely should. Busy moms certainly know how crucial it is. Crystal Payne joins us today with some tips on time management for achieving spiritual balance. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, we're always delighted to have Crystal Payne back on the program. She's the creator of MoneySavingMom.com, which you need to check out if you haven't already. Crystal, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me back. It's an honor to be here.
Crystal, we're trying to get at how busy moms can manage their time and stay spiritually balanced when things are moving at a frenzied pace, I'll say. It's something you have firsthand experience with, right?
That's for sure. I'm a mom of six, ages 19 down to one. So we're doing ABCs and ACTs at the same time. And then we have one with significant medical complexities and disabilities. Plus, I work full time running MoneySavingMomLift.com, like you said, and writing books and podcasting.
Yeah, so you are the perfect person to weigh in on this. And of course, you also have the book, The Time-Saving Mom. And in it, you outline a four-step process for how busy moms or stay-at-home dads can get control of their time. So let's walk through them quickly. What's first?
So first off, pray. Really starting our day in that posture of prayer and reliance on the Lord, instead of trying to white knuckle your way through life in your own strength, this changes how you approach life. You feel a lot less stressed, you feel more at peace, and it really helps you to focus your energy on those things that truly matter in eternity. And this can just look like a quick flare prayer, as I call it, that you shoot up throughout the day when you feel overwhelmed or aren't sure how to approach something, or you just feel extra tired or weary.
Yeah, don't let your busyness crowd out this all-important step, and that is to be prayed up. All right, Crystal, what's next?
So next up is prioritize. And in the Time Saving Mom, I outline what I call the 6x2 priority system. So this has been such a game changer for me. I have 6 priority areas that I wrap my time and my life around, but I only pick 2 to focus on per day. And then I rotate the ones that I focus on. So instead of trying to do all the things every day, that's how you really end up feeling completely stressed and frazzled. I just focus intentional time on 2 areas. So for instance, that might look like an at-home date with my husband, which would be the marriage priority area, and then coffee with a friend, which would be the friendships priority area. So that would be one day. And then maybe the next day I might spend extra time decluttering and catching up on laundry, so the home priority area, and then have a game night with the kids, so the kids priority area. So you just rotate through the priority areas, focusing on 2 per day.
Oh, that's so helpful. And there's something about the power of focus that allows you just to be much more intentional and really make some progress. I love that, kind of focusing that down to 2. Now, I know the next step is to plan, and you actually recommend using Google Calendar and time-blocked to-do list to do this. So how exactly does that work?
So this is a hybrid system that I use both an electronic calendar, Google Calendar, and then a handwritten list. And I find this is really the key for me to have lots of irons in the fire, but not forget the important things. So I write every single thing down that I need to do or remember, even the tiny things, in my Google Calendar as an all-day task. And then I assign it to a day that it needs to be done by. Then every night before I go to bed, I write out a handwritten time block to-do list with everything mapped out for the next day. So it's like a budget, but for my time.
Oh, that's so good. And then you can just make sure each day you're checking off those things that were intentionally placed on that day. That's just really helpful. All right, the last one is prep. So what does a busy mom need to know about preparing for the day?
I've really found that a successful day begins the night before. So one way that we set up our days to run much more smoothly is we take 30 minutes before we go to bed to quickly pick up the house, figure out what we're having for breakfast, make lunches, and get the bags and backpacks ready and set by the door, and then lay everyone's clothes out for the morning. These simple things make such a difference on our mornings and on the entire rest of the day.
Wow, Crystal, that was so good. I can imagine our listening audience right now is saying, I want that. How do I get that? Well, check out The Time Saving Mom, her book, or go to moneysavingmom.com. Crystal, thanks for helping us with some practical ideas to stay spiritually balanced.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, we'll do it again real soon. That's Crystal Payne, one of the busiest moms we know. Learn more at moneysavingmom.com. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Death is always a touchy subject. We'd all like to assume that tomorrow will always come, but deep down, we know it's not true. It's only a matter of time. Is there any hope regarding death? Well, apparently, Job in the Bible thought so. But then Job had just lost everything dear to him. Disease had overtaken his body, but his faith remained. After my skin has been destroyed, he said, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. Job knew that his death would mean that he was with his Creator. What about you? Do you have this hope? Come to Jesus, because one day you will see him face to face. Get more of God's Word daily with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
No part of our life can be left unprotected or exposed. The Bible doesn't tell us to choose 4 or 5 out of these pieces of armor, whichever ones we want, and to implement them. No, we are told to put on, notice, the whole armor of God.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Spiritual Warfare, Armor of the Believer, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time for your calls and questions today. 800-525-7000. That number, 800-525-7000. Always appreciate when Crystal Payne stops by so we can live with intentionality. You know, once we give our lives to Jesus, we surrender our lives to him and place our trust and our faith in him for salvation because of his shed blood on the cross, paying the penalty for our sin, reconciling us to the Father. So we're in our right standing before the Lord. From that point forward, it's about stewardship. What have we done with what we've been given? Recognizing God's word tells us to whom much is given, much is required. We're to be stewards of all God has entrusted to us. Yes, our time and our talents and our relationships and God's word. And that also includes our management of God's money. So here on this program, we want to help you be that wise and faithful steward of God's resources. We do that when you call with your questions and we take you back to God's word, talk about the big themes in scripture, but also help you with some practical answers. The number to call today, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We've got lines open today, and we're looking forward to diving into your questions. Hey, before we head to the phones in the news today, a huge percentage of us don't know what a 401k is. That's right. A new survey of 2,000 Americans for Beyond Finance shows that 43% of us lack a basic understanding of how a 401k works, and another 35% don't know what compound interest is, what Einstein called the eighth wonder of the world. Well, this is a strong argument for basic financial literacy courses in high school. Also, and this is more encouraging, a record number of folks are starting small businesses these days. You know, during the pandemic, people left their jobs in droves to find better employment, some of them starting businesses of their own. That trend has continued and even increased. In 2023, a record 5.5 million new business applications were filed. And by the way, women made up 49% of these new business owners, which I think is exciting as well. So what do we need to do with that? Well, we need to have basic financial literacy. We need to start teaching our kids at the youngest of ages the value of hard work, that God created us to be workers and that we should work diligently as unto the Lord, that money is a good gift from God and we're to provide for ourselves and our families and enjoy it, and yes, to give it away. And so starting early with give, save, spend, maybe getting some clear glass jars for give, save, spend, so that we can start early teaching that whenever they receive anything from an allowance or a gift, birthday or Christmas, they should divide it up into that which they're going to spend now or in the near term, that which they're saving for the future. And maybe they print out a picture of what they're saving for and stick it right on the jar, so they kind of exercise that delayed gratification muscle. And then they're giving right off the top to the work of the local church and beyond. Maybe get them involved in giving that's even more tangible beyond their local church giving. So starting early with some of those basic skills and understandings, and then moving into the more complex matters like compound interest, the power of it, how it can work for you and against you with debt, the vicious cycle that we can get into of spending more than we earn, which leads to debt, ultimately leading to no margin or surplus, which leads to worry, and then that vicious cycle that continues. And by the way, at the root of all of that are spiritual issues around contentment and self-discipline and ultimately our trust and faith in God. So these are all big ideas, and we need to be training our future adults, our kids, with both financial literacy as well as a biblical worldview of everything, but that includes money management. What's God's view of managing his money, and what does Scripture say? We need to be teaching them. And by the way, my friend Howard Dayton, one of my mentors, the former host of this program, likes to talk about being an MVP parent. That just means we got to model this. More is caught than taught. We need to talk about it. The V is verbal communication. And then the P is practical examples. Let's let them live it out. You know, Julie and I one time gave our kids over a 30-day period the entire eating out budget for them to figure out what we were going to do with it as a family. And it was so much fun on a Sunday afternoon to watch them sitting around the kitchen table talking about, you might say, negotiating how we were going to spend or how they were going to direct us to spend our entire eating out budget over a 1 month period of time. And they were saying, all right, if we do this, we can't do that. Well, I really want to go here, so maybe we can give that up. And, you know, they quickly realized, number one, how quickly the money goes, but number two, that it's about decisions and priorities, and there's not unlimited resources. So we've got to make some hard choices from time to time. All of these things are things we can teach our kids so they are prepared for a lifetime of faithful stewardship. Hopefully we can help you with that along the way here on this program. All right, we know you have questions today, and I want to try to help you with some answers. So let's dive in. We're going to begin today in Arizona. Sharon, you'll be our first caller. Go right ahead.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I have looked online, and I thought I understood this answer, but I'm not sure, and I wanted to check with you. I know that you can combine the RMDs you owe if you have more than one IRA and pay it just from one IRA, and it covers the rest of them. Does that also apply to a small inherited IRA? If I take more than is required for the RMD from that, does it apply toward the RMDs required for my other regular IRAs?
Yes, that is true. So for inherited IRAs, often they can have a different required minimum schedule. The minimum amount that has to be withdrawn by the survivor, maybe in some cases the surviving spouse or other person. But the total required minimum distributions that you have to take for the year, including your inherited IRA plus any other tax-deferred accounts that have RMDs, as long as you take out enough to cover the required minimums for the total, it doesn't matter whether you pull it from one account or multiple accounts. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, it does. I just wasn't sure because the inherited rules are different, so I just wasn't sure it was the same in that case.
Yes, that's exactly right. So as long as you know what that inherited required minimum is, you can add that amount to any other required minimums, and then you can pull it from the account of your choosing.
That's wonderful. Do you have time for a second question?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Is it preferable to, when you want to move a stock from an IRA to a street account to cover the RMD, is there any difference moving it when the stock is up or when it's down?
Yeah, well, if you're taking the RMD not from, let's say, a money market or the cash portion of your IRA, but you're having to sell a stock, I think is helpful to think about what stock you're selling in order to do that. So are you liquidating an individual stock position in order to free up the cash to pull that money out?
No, you're allowed to just transfer the stock.
Oh, I see what you're doing. Yeah, so you're actually just going to move it to a taxable account. Is that correct?
Yes.
I see. Yeah. So in that case, no, it doesn't matter because really, what you're going to be doing here is taking that distribution based on the value of the security at that point. That's going to be a taxable distribution. And then from that point, you'll pay capital gains. So that's less of a concern in the way that you're doing it. Thanks for your call, Sharon. We'll be right back.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
FaithFi is grateful for support from OneAscent. OneAscent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. OneAscent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at OneAscent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
So for God to speak is for God to engage in self-revelation. We only know God because God has condescended to speak to us.
The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that answers many of the common objections about the Bible's reliability. The film equips believers to confidently base their lives on the power of God's Word. It's available at streaming.afa.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. SoundMindInvesting.org.
Rob West of Faith and Finance. I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. By the way, during that break, you heard a message that I shared about the AFA Foundation. You know, the team at the AFA Foundation would love to talk to you about any estate planning issues you have related to charitable giving. If you want to consider a charitable gift annuity where you can get an income stream for life, a partial tax deduction, and gift the remaining assets to American Family Association out of the charitable gift annuity at your death, the team would love to talk to you about that. Or perhaps if you'd like to think about leaving a portion of your estate to AFA through a will or a trust, or maybe you'd like to make a gift of appreciated stocks or property. Well, again, the team at AFA will be happy to help. AFAFoundation.net/contact us. That's AFAFoundation.net/contact us. You can fill that form out, and either Riley or Chelsea or Jessica would be happy to set up a time for you to meet with someone from the team. And I'd even be happy to join that as well if it would be helpful to think through your options. Again, AFAFoundation.net/contact us. All right, we're going to head back to the phones today. We're taking your calls and questions on anything financial. The number to call, 800-525-7000. We've got, looks like, three lines open. Let's go to Maryland. Hi, Esther. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for taking me.
Yes, ma'am.
I appreciate the ministry, yours, and former Larry Burkett. And information out of that helped me in the process with finances.
Good. Well,
today,
thank you for saying that.
You're welcome. Today I have a question. I'm age 69. I'd like to know what is the best investment with a good tax write-off. I have three retirement incomes. No debt. My house is paid. Car is paid. I took my 401k out to start a business, which is now 9 years old, and have a retiree life insurance through the state. And basically, for the last couple of years, I just spend my money.
Yes.
I don't owe anything.
Yes.
And I have good income every month.
Okay, great.
And only taxes.
Okay. Let me ask you, Esther, you mentioned you have three retirement incomes, so I assume those will... Well, let me ask, are those going to continue for the rest of your life, or is one of those related to a business that you're operating? And so obviously your willingness to continue to operate that business is dependent upon the income. Help me understand what you've got coming in.
I have a state retirement, social security retirement, military retirement, and also a European retirement coming in soon.
Okay. So all of those will continue until your death, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then what about the small business? Is that something you're still operating?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We grow every year, which is good. We're well known, I would say, in the area we live. That is going well. The taxes, I feel, is way too much every year to pay, you know?
Yes. Yes.
I don't know if there's anything you know I can do to write off besides the charity I'm given, and thank God that lowers the taxes, you know?
Yes. Yes. Well, that's great. I'm delighted to hear that you're generous. And obviously, if you're getting above the standard deduction, then that gives you the opportunity to deduct those contributions up to a certain amount. If you're working and you've got self-employment income, and I assume that's how this is set up, is it an S corp? Is that right?
Explain a little bit.
What is the tax structure of the business that you're operating?
I'm an LLC.
Okay.
If that's what you mean.
Yes. All right. So you're paying the self-employment taxes on the portion that you're drawing out. And I realize that can add up quickly. I like the idea of you, if you have surplus and do you have a certain amount each month that's surplus that you could put away?
You were breaking up, so I couldn't quite understand.
No problem. Do you have a surplus each month, Esther, that you could use to fund a retirement account that could reduce your taxes?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what you might want to look at is something called a SEP IRA. Are you familiar with that term?
I heard it before, but I did not further look into it.
Okay. SEP stands for Simplified Employee Pension. Think about it like an IRA, an individual retirement account, which you may have heard of. And it's like a traditional IRA or a 401k in the sense that when you make a contribution, you're getting a tax deduction. That amount that you're contributing to the IRA is being excluded from your taxable income for the year. The problem is that with a traditional IRA, even if you're over age 50, the most you can put in a tax year is $8,000, at least for 2024, which for self-employed persons who don't have access to a company-sponsored plan like a 401k, they bump into that annual contribution limit, and then they can't put any more away. Whereas with the SEP, you can put them in quite a bit more. You can put in up to $69,000 for 2024, or 25% of your compensation, what you're paying yourself from the business as compensation, whichever is less, either 25% of your compensation or $69,000. And then that would allow you to put that into that retirement plan. It could then be invested, and then all of that money that went into the SEP for the year would be excluded from your taxable income, and you'd get a deduction on it. Does that make sense?
That makes very good sense.
Yeah.
Yes, because I don't want to have it as an income where I have to pay taxes over and over again. I want to reduce the taxes as we
That's
grow
right.
anyway.
That's right. Yes, ma'am. And so I think that would be a great option for you. Do you have an advisor that you've worked with in the past?
That maybe sounds naive, but a lot of you guys that I heard.
Okay.
And also the state had provided, I went to several retirement conferences, and there was a multitude of overwhelming information.
Okay. Are you comfortable using the internet?
Yeah.
Okay. What I would do is find a certified Kingdom advisor in your area at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Click find a professional. But let's do this. I want to help you a little bit further to make sure you're squared away. So stay on the line. We'll talk a bit off the air and we'll be right back. Stay with us. 19. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. 1. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's giveshoestoday.org.
We see and hear about the big public issues happening in our nation's capital, but what about the things that happen behind the scenes? That information can give us the whole story and help shape our opinions. That's why you need to listen to Washington Watch Weekend with Tony Perkins. He and his guests will give you all parts of the Washington news from a conservative Christian perspective. Catch Washington Watch Weekend Saturdays at 5:05 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central, and Sunday mornings at 3 Central on AFR.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
Real-life heroes don't look like the ones in the movies. Mark Nichols doesn't wear a cape. He's a business owner in a small Arkansas town who took a stand when his local library opened their children's section to the radical LGBTQ agenda. When you give today to AFA Action, you're helping to protect the innocence of children. We'll also give you a free copy of Mark's story. It's the latest DVD in our Impact series. Visit afaaction.net today. afaaction.net.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. I've got two lines open. You can call right now and get through at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Call right now. Before the break, we were talking to Esther in Maryland, and she's in her late 60s. She's got three retirement incomes coming her way. She also started a small business that's been very successful, and as a result, she's paying more taxes than she would like. So we were talking about how she could contribute to a SEP IRA to get that money socked away for the future, but reduce her current tax liability. But Esther shared with me during the break that she had a testimony that she wanted to share as an encouragement related to tithing. So Esther, share that with us.
Well, thank you, Rob, for giving me the opportunity. So I was at one time really poor. I went to every pocket sometimes and gathered the coins to buy bread, literally. So my first tithing I paid was $8, I remember, in California. And for babysitting, and the next day on Monday, the person didn't bring out the baby. I said, Lord, this is wonderful. You said you opened the windows of heaven. I gave my last money, so to speak, $8. And now I have nothing. However, 2 weeks later, the lady came and she brought me $80 for babysitting. And from that time, I always tithed. However, there were times they were not always rosy still in times, you know, stuff that happened. Yes. And I was short of $53 paying for the rent. And I battled in my mind with the scripture, if you give, it's the only time we can test God. He will open the windows of heaven. Prove me in this. And this battle in my mind back and forth, because if I would have had paid my tithing, I would have had to pay $50 late fee on the rent. And I said, Lord, then I have to pay extra. So in church, even I battled this. And by doing it offering time, I battled it in my mind and listened then to the pastor who said, especially when you don't have, give, write on the envelope, ha, ha. So I wrote down, ha, ha, ha. On Tuesday, the following Tuesday, I had a job interview. On Thursday, I was called that I got the job. And on Friday, I was called the same week that I get automatically a 4-step pay increase.
Wow. Wow. You can't outgive God, can you, Esther?
No. Hard work, dedication, honesty, no greed. I learned and the favor of God, I started off with the department working as an intern, as a youth advocate, case manager, probation. Later on, I ended up working at headquarters. So I have a very good retirement from the state. And I want to encourage everyone always to take God first. Even in situations financially, it doesn't look good. Or you hear a lot of people saying, oh, the church wants the money. Well, he never says that he wants us to be poor like a church mouse either.
Wow. I really appreciate that testimony. You know, I'm confident that there's somebody who was listening today by divine appointment that you've been an encouragement to. You've encouraged me. And what I'm taking away from your story, Esther, is, first of all, God is trustworthy and faithful. He is our provider, no one else. Second, that we're just called to faithfulness. To whom much is given, much is required. Faithfulness is about long obedience in the same direction, faithful to opportunity. And when God has given you the opportunity, you have consistently said, Lord, I'm going to put you first. Even when you cranked it through your calculator, it may not make sense, and yet God provides. And he's not a cosmic vending machine. You know, we're not giving to get. But when we do it with the right heart posture, and we do it as an act of worship, and we do it as a demonstration of trust, what we know is that God is faithful. And he owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and he has told us in his word that he will provide for us. And you've certainly seen that play out in your life. And now you've given testimony to that today, and that honors the Lord. So I just want you to know I appreciate you sharing your story.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. God bless you in the things what you do.
Thank you. That means a lot. May the Lord bless you as well, Esther. You have a wonderful day, and call anytime. What a blessing. 800-525-7000. Let's go to Tennessee. Hi, Angela. How can I help you?
Hi. Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. I enjoy
yes,
your
ma'am.
Show very much.
Thank you.
My question today is, should we pay off our home mortgage or keep the savings toward a new vehicle? Keeping in mind, we may have to sell the home in a year or two because of an aging parent, in which we would have to sell and move in with the parent.
Yeah, very good. Angela, I love the idea of you all getting out of debt, especially if that's a conviction of yours. I think that God's word affirms that. I don't think debt or borrowing is a sin, but I do think it does mortgage the future. It predetermines our future spending when we borrow. It may deny God an opportunity to work in certain cases, but I think there are productive uses of debt, and that a home is a great example where, you know, you're borrowing for an appreciating asset, and it's also where you live. And so I like that. Now, I also love the idea that you would make a goal to be completely out of debt. And I think there are a variety of ways you can go about that. And the timing matters because we don't want to deplete you of all of your liquid reserves. In this case, you're thinking about a home mortgage versus buying a car. You also have this potential home move. That's less of a concern to me at this point, because even if you were to decide to put 100%, you know, into the home and you were to pay it off, that's okay, because you're going to get that equity out when you sell it, and then you could decide either to, you know, put it into the next property, or, you know, if you're moving in with someone to care for them and you are going to hang on to that equity, you could, you know, put it in savings, or you could even invest it depending on the time horizon. So that's less of a concern than whether or not it makes sense for you to go ahead and pay it down or off now versus saving for the car. So let's run through a few of these options. What is the home worth today, to the best of your knowledge?
$180,000.
And what do you owe on it?
$37,000.
And what are you paying in? What's the current interest rate on that?
5.5%.
Okay. And tell me about the car purchase that you're going to have to make. How much are you looking to spend on that?
Anywhere from $35,000 to $40,000.
All right. And would this be a new vehicle or a used?
Hopefully used, if you can find them nowadays, but probably
yeah.
a new one.
I understand. All right. You know, rates are high right now, and so that's the challenge, you know, even for new vehicles. I mean, you've got some, you know, that are offering some incentives, so you could certainly look for that. But, you know, the average new car rate today is still at 7%, even for somebody with a 660 credit score and higher, all the way up to 780. Used cars are pushing 10%. So, you know, I like the idea of you prioritizing the car payoff, a payment first, going ahead and buying that car with cash, because we're going to save money on interest. You're certainly going to be paying more in interest than you are on the mortgage. And if you're itemizing, you can deduct that interest on the home, not to mention the fact that the car is a depreciating asset. So I think, you know, assuming you keep an emergency fund in place, I'd prioritize buying the car versus paying off the mortgage, and then just try to do that out of current cash flow, you know, along the way. Maybe you look at sending an extra payment a year or something like that. I want to get your thoughts. Unfortunately, I've got to hit a break, so stay there. We'll talk off the air, and we'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
You look at three of the four justices there in Colorado that voted to remove him from the ballot. They all came from Ivy League schools, schools that had been created as divinity schools. What a picture of the apostasy in America when it comes to the church.
Stay informed with Tony Perkins and his guests on Washington Watch, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central on AFR, or catch up anytime with the podcast at AFR.net.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners, LTD, and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services, LLC.
Today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Tennessee and talk to Steve. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, this is Steve from Mississippi.
Oh, okay, Mississippi. I'll take that. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I had 135. I thought it was 140, but it's 135 in an IRA, and it's going to be matured in July, and I was wondering if you had an advice on something to do with it.
Yeah, so when you say mature, do you have that in like brokered CDs or something?
Yes, sir, in the CD at the bank.
Okay, and what is your age?
69 years old.
59?
69.
All right. And then in terms of other retirement assets, what do you have?
Well, nothing really. I mean, just little savings and just what's coming in from Social Security.
All right. And so you're living off of Social Security alone at this point?
Pretty much, yes, sir.
All right. And is that enough to cover your bills every month?
Pretty much. We're drawing a little bit from the IRA. We're like $500 a month.
Okay, $500 a month from the IRA. Now, that's been in CDs, yes. So has it been paying interest, and then you've been pulling the interest or something?
Yes, sir, pretty much.
Okay. Now, I mean, I like the number that you've got there at 500 a month, because basically you're pulling, you know, about, 4% a year, which is realistic. And, you know, you've been getting a decent interest rate on those CDs. That's not going to be around forever. Do you have any emergency savings beyond the IRA currently?
No, very little.
Okay. And do you have any surplus on a monthly basis that if you really buckled up, or buckled down, I should say, that on your spending, you could start to put something away a little bit every month?
Maybe a little.
Okay. I mean, I think that would be key. I'd love for you to get up to 6 months worth of expenses. It might take some time, but I'd love for you to get to a place where you've got something to fall back on. So if something comes out of left field, especially given that you're kind of living right up to the edge, that you've got the ability to cover that. With the IRA, I mean, given that you need, you know, $5,000-$6,000 a year, I think we do need to get this invested. I mean, typically at 70 years old, I'd say you might want a portfolio of 30% in stocks, maybe 10% in gold, maybe 60% in fixed income type investments, high quality bonds, U.S. Treasuries, maybe even some more CDs. So we've got a good stable portfolio. It's not very volatile. It's paying a good amount of interest, a nice yield. Those bonds will increase in value as interest rates fall whenever that comes. Maybe it's next year at this point with inflation. And then the stock portion, even though, you know, that'll ebb and flow, you know, it gives you a growth component over time. Because here's the thing. I mean, depending on your health status, I mean, you might need this money to last the next 30 years if the Lord tarries and you're in good health. So, you know, we can still take a long-term perspective even at age 70. And I think, you know, getting this invested, and I would recommend using an advisor, somebody who can manage it for you, is so that you can take out that 4% a year. And the goal would be over time, not in any given 1 month or quarter or year, but over time, you'd be able to maintain roughly that $135,000, maybe grow it a little bit for inflation, but still pull out the $5,000 or $6,000 a year you need to supplement. So that would be my best advice. And if you don't have someone, I'd recommend you connect with a certified Kingdom advisor there in Mississippi to help you do that.
Okay, well, I sure appreciate it, sir. Who is a certified Kingdom advisor?
Yes, sir. So here's where you'd go. If you're comfortable using the internet, just go to faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com and click find a CK, or excuse me, it says find a professional at the top of the page, and then you'll do a zip code search. CKA is the only designation in the financial services industry for men and women who've met high standards in character and competence. They've signed a statement of faith. They've signed the code of ethics. They've been trained to bring a biblical worldview. And they've had a pastor and client reference and met an experience requirement. So they're highly vetted. And, I think, you know, these are trusted folks that you could connect with. I'd interview two or three there in Mississippi and then find the one that's the best fit.
Okay. Well, I sure appreciate it, sir.
All right, Steve. God bless you and your wife. And thanks for calling today. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000. We're getting to as many questions as we can here before we round out the program in the next few minutes. Let's go to Alabama. Hi, Milton. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
So, yes, I have a VA loan that I started last year around August. And I'm interested in refinance, and now the lender told me that I was able to refinance my loan without the lender fees within a year. So I called them and I asked them that I thought that the interest rates were kind of low for VA if I was able to refinance, and they told me no, that they were not low enough yet to make it worth it for me to refinance.
Right.
So I wonder, is that true that they might waive my lender fees, and when can I find out when is it worth it for me to do the refinancing?
Yeah, it's not going to be, unfortunately, Milton. What is your current VA interest rate?
7.25.
Yeah, we're right there today. You're just not going to save anything. The 30-year rate, I mean, you know, it may dip below 7%. Are you on a 30-year fixed rate?
Correct.
Yeah. You're just not going to save enough, even if you could find one, you know, under seven for it to make sense. You know, I think you're going to need to hold off. And even if that ability to refinance without the fees expires because we get beyond a year, what you really want to do is wait until, you know, these rates are down, you know, where you can save a couple of percentage points, which we're still probably another, you know, year or maybe two away from you being able to do that.
Okay, that's what's here.
Yeah,
something that caught my attention is I received a call from the lender that bought my loan, saying that they wanted to do the refinance, that I was able to save up to 1%. And I found that strange that they were calling me instead of them for me.
Yeah, but when you reached out to them, they said it doesn't make sense, right?
Well, I reached out to the original lender that had my loan.
I see.
The agent that did my paperwork. Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they may have been trying to just sell you the call you got and giving you the very best rate that, you know, is available. It also may not have been for a 30-year mortgage. I mean, the national average right now this week or last week is around 7.1. And so for a 30-year VA and for a refi, it's up, you know, over 7.5. So given that, you know, that's just not going to save you any money. There's just no reason to do it. And I understand you want to save on the fees, but I think your better option is just to hold off, wait for rates to come down, which we're still 1 to 2 years away from getting down and, you know, probably in the fives, which is where all of a sudden it will make sense to you.
Absolutely. So is there a way that I can find out what the interest rate so I can be proactive and I've been waiting for them. Where can I find that information?
Absolutely. It's available online. You know, you could use bankrate.com. They'll give you the current VA loan rates by week. It's bankrate.com, bankrate.com. And you'll just click on mortgages and then VA loan rates. And I just watch that as these rates change over time. Milton, God bless you, my friend. Thanks for calling and thanks for your service to our country. Let's go to Iowa. Hi, Teresa. How can I help?
Hi, I have a question about Social Security. I am going to be 68 in September. I retired the end of December of 2022 and have lived on savings for the last year. So I know about how much I spent over that year. I started my Social Security and now I'm thinking I want to wait. I have about $42,000 in savings. My house is paid for, car's paid for. I have about $260,000 in an IRA and another $105,000 in a guaranteed annuity.
Okay. All right. And so what is the total of the assets outside of the annuity?
Outside of the annuity, probably close to $300,000.
All right. And then you have the guaranteed annuity. Have you annuitized that yet, or is that just growing?
It's just growing. It's a guaranteed 4%.
All right. And what's the value of that?
I don't know what you mean.
The value of the annuity.
It's about $105,000.
All right. And so is your question, does it make sense for you to suspend your retirement benefits and let the check grow?
Yes.
And where would you draw the income from that you're currently getting from Social Security while you're waiting?
Probably the IRA.
And how much do you need per month?
Per month, probably about $3,000.
About $3,000 a month. I mean, that'd be more than I'd like for you to take, although I realize it'd grow at 8% a year. And so you'd pull, you know, quite a bit more. You know, about three times that, so about 12% over the year. And you do that for what, another year and a half? Is that right?
It'll be about 2 years.
Okay, yeah. And then you'd get a check 16% higher. you know, because you'd get 8% a year for. So I think you just need to run the numbers on that. I like that option. There's just a lot of moving pieces here. Unfortunately, I'm out of time today. So let's do this. I'd love for you to either call back tomorrow. We could spend a little more time together or connect with an advisor, a certified Kingdom advisor in your area on our website at faithfi.com. But I think you're headed in the right direction. I'd love to just compute the numbers a little bit more and make sure this makes sense. So let's either talk tomorrow or connect with an advisor in your area. Thanks for your call today. We're so thankful you were along with us today. Thanks to my team today, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.